Wow, Christmas coming up, isn't it? It's here. Of course, you know, we know that Christmas happens every time someone gets born again, every time someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Miraculous birth takes place. Praise the Lord. I want to look at just the couple things tonight, just something briefly, as we go to the Word of God. And if you would, I want you to open up to John chapter 3. Now, a lot of you could probably quote this, but sometimes we don't turn there. So if you got your Bible, turn over there. And I think it'll be up on the screen here. But John chapter 3, I'm going to look at verses 16 through 18. And I'm reading from the King James Bible, but if I take some these and thous out, you won't be upset with me, will you? Well, now, brother, if the King James Bible was good enough for Jesus, all of his apostles, and the Apostle Paul, I just think we ought to stick with it. Thank you, Doug Jones. But anyway, no. Hallelujah. Say, well, what's that mean? Well, enroll at Raymond next year and you'll find out if you don't know what that means. John chapter 3, verse 16 here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, a couple aspects there. It's interesting, starting from the last that we read up to the top there. You know, in the area of condemnation, Jesus didn't come to condemn anyone because the world's already condemned. It's all of us sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus came with a fix to the condemnation. Amen. And that's why Romans 8 points out so well that there is therefore now. See, it's written to Christians now. Therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And it's assumed that you walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Right? We as Christians walk in a different realm. We're new creatures in Christ. But so condemnation is not of God. Jesus came as the fix of that. And so, you know, I think tonight, and where I'm kind of going with this, you'll see that we're looking at this tonight. Yes, we need to know that. I've heard people say, well, if you just tell people how much God loves them, they'll automatically love other people. I've seen that be proven not to be so. Now, I am very, 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 very strong in believing that people need to know God loves them unconditionally. Because to me, how can I love others as God loves me if I don't know how God loves me? Well, one aspect there of that, this is kind of a side note, I'm just trying to get to, aspect of that would be that there, I can't be a condemning type person. Always, you know, there's some folks, bless their hearts, they're always, you know, heaping condemnation on people. Condemnation on people. No, that's not our job. Listen, why would we take sides with the devil? Don't work for him. Don't be on his side. Let's take sides with God. So the condemnation is there already, but Jesus came as the answer. He said in verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him they might be saved. Well, obviously saved there, delivered from the condemnation. But the big aspect I want to see tonight is for God so loved the world that he gave. Everything, it seems, that God does is motivated by this aspect of his nature that he is love, and love gives. Love, there's this giving aspect. And tonight I want to look at it from the standpoint of this. We are partakers of this love, and therefore our actions should be motivated by that same nature with a desire, an unstoppable desire, to give. Last time, I can't remember last time, I was, I think first of the month on Sunday night, talked about the compassion of the Lord, that his compassion motivates him. Jesus was moved with compassion and healed. Jesus moved with compassion and did these things. And the Bible says the tender mercies of God are over all his works. Well, how many of you know the Bible says that the works that he did shall we do also? Right? John chapter 14. So I want to look at that from that standpoint tonight, that if God is a giver, because God is love, and we are his children, and we have that same love in us, then we should be givers also. Now, of course, you talk about giving, and people automatically want to go to their finances. That's just a small part of it. Look at Romans chapter 5. You know, I can think of a few examples of this being lived out in people. I think, I'm going to be biased in my opinion here, okay? But I think that I'm blessed with the best dad in the whole world. Now, you should think that, I mean, hopefully, you know what I'm saying. But one characteristic of my dad is always giving. He's a giving person. Now, I don't remember growing up, thinking as a child, you're not, saying, "Whoa, that's a gift. Ooh, he's getting no," But as I've, in the last 39 and a half years of being a Christian and following these things, my dad has set an example of a father who gives. I mean, here he is. He's retired now, and 80 years old. My mom turns 81 here on the 31st of this month. And so we always joke that he married an older woman, by a few months. He gets there in April. But so they're roughly the same age as Pastor Hagen. I guess the pastor is a little bit younger than them, but by a few months. But he has set the example. Even now, if I'm in his presence, before he leaves, if he's here for a couple days or I'm up there for a couple, I mean, he's going to stick some money in your hand. And do it where nobody else, he's just, it's like a secret handoff or something, I wouldn't call it a Pentecostal handshake, but and he always does it. And I'm thinking, let me give you some, but he, And I think that that's a godly characteristic, that God is always looking for opportunities, not to make fanfare, not to make a big deal, but God is always looking for opportunities to give. Why? Because he loves you. He loves us. Amen? And that aspect of love, I think, is a characteristic that we are going to have to, as the body of Christ, come into full realization of, because this world is going totally opposite and further away from that type of thinking about giving. It's all what I can get, and if you won't give me what I can get, I'll do away with you. Amen. But the nature of God, I'm doing some further study on some issues of blood covenant in relationship to a word that's found in the Old Testament that's hard to translate into English because it means so many things, but it carries with it the idea of being faithful to a covenant relationship and the giving aspect. It's translated mercies. It's translated loving kindness. It's translated several ways throughout the Old Testament, and that's just in the Old Testament. One time I was at a university in Springfield, Illinois. It was used to be called Sangamon State. Now it's the University of Illinois at Springfield. And I was in their Judaic studies and language area, just looking, and I was trying to find some information about this word. So I'd looked up the word, how many remember how to use it? This was in the card catalog days, okay? I couldn't look it up. There was not any microfiche. Remember microfiche, microfilm, all that? No, I had to look it up in the card catalog to see if there was any, and they had an extensive one, not just by author, not just by title of the book, but they had it by certain words and studies. I mean, they had card catalogs that stretched across, a long. And so I looked this word up and found it. And so I was reading this from a Judaic, in other words, a Jewish background. And they said, really, in old ancient usage, this word had no meaning outside of covenant with God. And so I got some, here's recently, some Brother Kirk Dubois got a hold of a book. He showed it to me, and I thought, well, I want to get that book too. And then when I went to order it, it paired it with a couple other books. You don't say, other people ordered this. So I said, well, I want to be these other people, you know. So I ordered three of them, you know. They'd offered five, you know. They just quit at three. They should have kept going because I was in the mood, you know what I'm saying? And any of you ever been in the Amazon mood before, you know? And, oh, my goodness, Lord, deliver us. But anyway, I was reading one person's general working definition, and I'm paraphrasing because I haven't quite memorized it, but it really kind of fits here. It's when he from whom you could never expect anything gives you everything. That's what it means to be loved by God. When he from whom, because of where we're at. Now, we understand in our position as in Christ, he made us worthy to receive everything. But when he came, when God so loved the world, he came to a world that no one in the world could expect or demand anything from him. But yet to them and to us, he gave us everything. Not just some, everything. That's love. That's love. And that's God's nature. God is love. How many of you know that? The Bible says that. Now look here in Romans 5, verse 5. And hope makes not ashamed. Never, never, never be ashamed of anything in the gospel. And hope, confident expectation. In other words, it will come to pass. Hope. Because, why? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. Say this with me. The love of God is in me. When I got born again, the Holy Ghost moved in and love moved in. God, the Holy Ghost, member of the Godhead, is love also. And he's in me. So the capacity to love like God is in me. Amen. See, and so if God loves, and because of that love, he gives, then we have that same capacity. Now, Paul prayed. He told the Philippians, I almost said the Philippians, whoever they are. That's not even right for anyway. The Philippians, he told them, he said, I'm praying that your love would abound, grow more and more in all wisdom and understanding. You know, it's one thing to have something, but how many of you know it's great to know how to apply that something? Amen. Amen. You know, you could have some type of topical cream, but if you don't know how you're supposed to apply that, you could rub it all over yourself, never help it, right? Never help whatever it is. You got to do it according. Well, we've got the love of God in us, but how do we apply? Well, the Holy Spirit, obviously, knows how to do it. Let's look at a few other scriptures. Ephesians 5. In this time, see, this is, I'm talking more than just the giving of presents at a certain time of the year. I'm talking about giving of ourselves because God is love. And that we are children of him, by him, from him, and we have that capacity to love on the inside of us. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Be followers of God as dear children. Any of you ever, I don't know about you, but there's a couple times, I know at least a couple times, that I went to discipline my children and realized they're just doing what I had done. And so if I'm going to whoop them, I have to whoop me. You understand what I mean by that. There was no whooping. It was love going forth. But to correct them, because you don't want them to do something that's going to hurt themselves, right? But children, how many of you know children imitate their parents? Whether you like it or not, they do. How many of you dads have heard your dad come out of your mouth? Right? Moms, I'm sure. I'm not a mom, so I can't speak for you. So, but look at verse 2. How do we imitate God? And walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Now notice this. And has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Notice here that it is almost understood, but it's stated here, that when you love someone, you give yourself for them. There's a giving, there's a giving aspect to love. And the other aspect is when someone who can do nothing back for you, you give them everything. Amen. They have no demand on you. They can make no demand on you, but yet you choose to love them anyway, and they can make no repayment. That's the kind of love we're talking about. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Back up here, book. Galatians chapter 1. Here is Paul is opening up this letter. He talks about the grace of and peace from God. He gets here in verse 4, speaking of, he's talked about Jesus Christ. Verse 4, chapter 1, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He gave himself. Now notice that. Was Jesus successful? Right? With what Jesus did he fulfill the will of God? Did he accomplish? Well, absolutely. Then how about this? Can we boldly say, I'm delivered from this present evil world? Amen. He gave himself so that we might be delivered. And notice that's the will of God. Hallelujah. Look at the same book, chapter 2, verse 20. One of those go-to scriptures in the Bible. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now notice that. The life which I what? Now live. Talking about right now then, isn't he? Not when I get to heaven, but right now. Not in the millennium, right now. Not in eternity, right now. This life I'm living right now, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now notice here again, just to continue going and continue this understanding theme, that to love is to give. How did Jesus love us? He gave himself. How did God love us, the Father? He gave us his Son. And so evidently, in order for me to love, I have to give. I have to give. Now, simply, well, I don't have anything to give. Well, you've got you. Amen. Right? A lot of times we overlook the greatest asset that we have, our time. Not anyone in here that doesn't have the same amount of time in every day. Amen. Every one of us have the same amount of time. You know, the Bible talks about he gave up his life. Well, have you ever thought about this? What does my life consist of? What do I have? Well, I have 24 hours. At any given moment, am I willing to lay down some time for someone else? Amen. You know, it's not all about putting money in their pocket, or it's not all about, you know, doing. Sometimes just time. People just need time. They need your time. Well, I'm busy. I know. You think God wasn't busy? You know, very few people go to God and say, God, now, God, I know you're busy, but God is, he has capacity, and he's given us a capacity to love others. Your time, you know, your talents, the gifts from God, whatever resources you do have. There's so many things. I know one time I was writing out a list and I whittled it down to about 20 things, and then I think I could probably whittle it down more now. But just in writing out some things, you know, and at any given time, realizing, checking with myself, and just basically saying, you know, preaching to yourself, which we all need to do, Tad, at any given time, you have to be willing to lay that down to benefit someone else. I heard this definition years ago, that love desires to benefit others at the expense of itself, because love desires to give. Now, you know, lust, some people say, well, hate's the opposite, but really lust gives birth to hate. Lust is a desire that's gone out of control. Lust desires to get at the benefit of others. I mean, at the expense of others, not the benefit of them. See, I want what you have, and it's going to cost you. Aren't you glad it didn't cost you anything to come to God? But you have to give up everything to live the life, but we understand it's not going to cost us. Look at Titus, right there in front of, this will help you, it's right there in front of Philemon. My good friend Philemon. Titus chapter 2. So to love is to give. God's a giver. I'm thinking of Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Could we say that about us? I'm a rewarder. I'm a giver. Amen. You know, and so much of the time, it's not about what we advertise we give. It's what we give when no one else finds out about it. It's the everyday stuff. I know all of us might make a big splash. It's kind of what Christmas is about. It's kind of a big splash. But are you a giver the rest of the year? Are you a giver, you know? And I know all of us, you know, you have things that make demand on you and the pull on you. And sometimes if you're not careful, the cares of this world, the lust of other things in it, choke off that word. If you choke off the word, you're going to choke off your flow of love and giving. I know those things happen to all of us. There's not anybody that's immune to this world. But we're delivered from it, thank God. And we overcome this world. Here in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. So my point there is, yes, we all have to do it to do these things and make a decision ahead of time that I'm going to love no matter what. Now here in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for this blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. When you think about Jesus coming, isn't it a blessed hope? Isn't it glorious? Yes. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You might say this, who purified unto himself a people just like himself, zealous to love others, zealous of good works. I mean something, zeal is talked about in the Bible as something that burns on the inside of you. It just burns and you've got to do it. You've got to do this. I can't do this. I have to. It's like we talked about in the compassion of the Lord. He's ready. He's ready to save. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to pardon. It's that quick. I mean, it's not. He's ready. In fact, he's ready before you even knew that you needed it. He's ready. Well, what about incorporating that characteristic into our life? I'm ready. I'm ready to love. I'm ready to give. I'm ready to forgive. I'm ready to pardon. I'm ready to be there if you need me. I'm ready. Well, that's what we pay the pastor for. No. Amen. That's what we are still here on the earth for. Think about it. We're citizens of heaven. Who would choose this over heaven? When you really think about it, well, I'd miss so-and-so. Yeah, they're coming with you. They'll come later. But you know what I'm saying. I understand that. But if I could live there, no enemy, no death. You know, I just got back from Argentina. Now, I've been blessed to travel a lot of places in the world, and I'm just going to declare this right now. So far, right now, Argentina wins. Best food I've had anywhere. Best food I've had anywhere. I mean, I had Italian. I had, you know, any time that you can have picanha steak, New York strip, and ribs in the same meal. That's a win. Amen. Not just one day, a couple days. And this church down there, they have one of their first year Raymond students is a chef. And so after one of the meetings, he made us, this was Sunday night after, we sat down and he made us chicken marsala. And I mean, this was, I mean, it, and the whole, it had everything, the presentation, the taste, you know, he brought out the south, it brought the courses out, and it was just, oh my goodness. Okay. He started out, no, this was at another, my meals are running together now. You know, if the appetizer is eggplant parmesan, heaven on earth. I mean, it is just, that's the appetizer. And when you can put shrimp in noodles with Alfredo sauce that's homemade, but that's not even going to compare to what's waiting us in heaven. Hallelujah. I know you're just like, shut up, let's go eat. All right. Let's wrap this up in 1 John chapter 3. I believe it's an expectation. You know, that is, this is the commandment. We're not even going to get there. But we are expected of by God, our Savior, to have this love and manifestation in our lives. You know, it's like Brother Hagin used to say, Pastor Hagin's father, you know, about the Holy Spirit. What's he in there for? Just to hitchhike a ride through life? What's that love in us for? Oh, just so I'll know I'm loved. No, that's not that love. The love shed abroad in us, in our heart, to actually then be a distributor. A distributor. That's, you know, kind of like what these church services, it's like a distributor's meeting where we come and get, hear about the product, you know, and then take it out to the world and distribute it to the world. 1 John 3:14. We know. Everybody say, I know. So here's something we're supposed to know. That we have passed from death unto life. What's the evidence? Because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now listen, you're a Christian. You might think, listen, I guarantee you, if you'll just look on the inside, you don't hate anybody. Down on the inside. There's a compassion down there. There's something down there that wants them free. There's something down there that wants them delivered. There's something down there that wants them to experience the same peace and love and grace that you have experienced. Amen? And I was one night here just recently, I just kept getting woken up in the night. And every time I woke up, I was saying this out of my mouth, the love of Christ constrains me. The love of Christ constrains me. I don't know what I was thinking in between, but every time I woke up, it was the love of Christ constrains me. I go back to, I just, you know, just kind of roll over and I was saying it out loud a couple of times. Then I just think it, go back to sleep. The love of Christ. The love of Christ is what's controlling. It's the love of Christ. He says this in verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now listen, then he gets practical. But whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his, now notice this of the King James, his bowels of compassion from him. The word bowels there is really the same word translated compassion, but they added the of compassion in bowels of compassion, that inward yearning, eager yearning on the inside of that is of God. It's in us. How can we say how dwells the love of God in him? How can we even say that the love of God is in us when we shut it off from people? If God's no respecter of persons, what about us? Look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, a couple things here. God, first of all, never has asked us to do something that he himself isn't already doing. He's not asking us to do something, all right, that he doesn't do. He is love. Second of all, he doesn't ask us to do anything that's impossible to us through him. You realize if he says for us to do this, we can do this? And not only can we should. Now again, there's no condemnation, right? No condemnation, but this should be, is this in our thinking? Am I looking? Am I eagerly yearning? Am I looking for ways to be a giver in everyday life? Amen. You know, if you think about it, I'm amazed. I shouldn't be, but I'm amazed how when people drive, they don't ever think about anybody else that's on the road. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, of course, none of you in here. I can't. All of you are perfect drivers like me, but it's amazing. Now, Amanda can tell you. I mean, she can tell you. She wasn't trained to necessarily drive like I was, and she knows. I try to take a look around, see everybody. You know, if I'm driving down one of these 5-lane roads, you know, like we have Elm, Aspen, and I'm in the right lane, and I see somebody wanting to pull out, I'll get over in that left lane, so they'll have access. Now they may want to, but I just constantly do that. You know, and we grew up and learning how to drive in the state of Illinois, and we don't have yield, we have merge, so we always got over. If you're on the highway, you get over to let people in, you know. Came busting down an on-ramp, you know, and the speed limit's 70. Now, how am I supposed to get in there if somebody doesn't move over and help me? I'm up to 70 by the time I got down there, but here comes this sweetheart little thing. Just running up. I thought she was going to run me over, you know, because the guy... That, you know, she could, I've watched it. I was watching it the whole way. I'm thinking, is she going to get over? You know. And, a 2006 Dodge Caravan doesn't quite have the get up it used to. Amen. Hallelujah. That's when you want those old, big V8 engines, you know. Hallelujah. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But thinking about others, when's the last time you thought, I'm gonna let someone go here. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna forgive. I have to work on forgiveness a lot when I drive. I'm sorry. Because like I said, I'm the perfect driver. Just ask my wife, she knows. I say it all the time. What is wrong with those people? But thinking about what areas of my life can I make a decision? Okay, if I'm going to be known for anything in 2020, how about if it was how much they love people? How much, and not just I say it to you. Now, you need to say it. Don't be like the guy that said, you know, that their husband and wife have been married many years in for counseling, and the wife says to the person, he loves me. And he says, what about that, sir? He says, I told her I loved her when we got married, and if anything changes, I let her know. Can't be like, we need to express our love, right? We need to say. But what about the attitudes and actions of love? What if we're known for that? What if we're known as a people of love? Hallelujah. I think that's as much our legacy at Rhema as anything else. Dad Hagen was a man of love. I don't call him Dad, but you, just to distinguish, Brother Hagen, our pastor's dad, at his memorial service, you know, many of you were here. Everybody spent time talking about his love, how he didn't talk bad about people, how he was a giver and went out of his way. Very few mentioned even talk about faith. We talk about faith because it's set, you know, that faith, that message is, but it was love. There was always the undertone of your faith won't work without love. Amen? Hallelujah. We are love children of the love of the God of love, and we can operate and be his example and be his representative, and we can love others just as he has loved us. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand up together. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your word. It's always good. Amen? Sometimes, you know, we just need to remind ourselves of some key things here, all right? Let's be a people that have compassion. Hallelujah. Prayer team, you go ahead and come if you want. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you appreciate our prayer team? We don't do this often, but let's give them a big hand clap as they come. And all those that volunteer in this area, thank you so much. And really, we say volunteer, but they're ministering in this area. So when we dismiss here in just a moment, if you need prayer, gentlemen, come up here to the gentlemen, ladies to the ladies. They'll pray with you according to the word of God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior tonight, make sure that you don't leave here tonight without making that decision and experiencing the love of God for yourself. It's so difficult to explain to people, but once you've experienced it, you know it, right? Really that becoming a Christian is that time of the love of God just overwhelming us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.